Today, you're gonna have a great time. You'll see. Has anybody been to the stock show yet this year? We got a few out there. I saw Pam there the other day. We went yesterday, and that's always a lot of fun. You know what I love is the announcer at the rodeo, how much he honors the Lord. He does that every year, and I'm so encouraged by that. So praise the Lord for that. Well, today we're sort of taking a break from our Faith to Move Mountain series because sometime this month I wanted to just share sort of a vision for 2018 at Bear Creek. And God's just been doing some great things, and so I want to talk about some of those great things he's been doing and sort of encourage us as we face this new year. Anybody do New Year's resolutions? Some of you, maybe a two or three, they're like, no, I don't do that anymore. Usually New Year's resolutions last for about a month, then you get back into your system. So, this past week I came across a comment posted on a pastor's social media page, a Facebook page, and this person wrote, and he posted it on his page, and it's for everybody to read, but I've been thinking about this post, and I'm just going to read it to you. He says this: nothing in my life seems to be working out right. I'm lonely, I'm broke, I'm out of work, and every door I knock on seems to close before me. Pastor, I feel like I've been heading down a blind alley, and I've reached a dead end in my work and in my relationships. Does God even care? I really need a breakthrough right now. And that just really, of course, I got on there and tried to encourage this person. But, I was thinking about that word breakthrough. When I read that, I thought, that would be a good word to share this Sunday. You might have heard this word breakthrough before. People use it in different contexts. There's breakthroughs in the technology field, or there's breakthroughs in the science field. There's people have new breakthroughs in their marriages. So we've heard this word breakthrough. Well, what does breakthrough mean? I looked it up. Webster's Dictionary, it says, a sudden, dramatic, and important advancement. A sudden, dramatic, important advancement. And the opposite of a breakthrough is it's a setback, right? And so here's the point. We will all go through many, many setbacks and breakthroughs in our life. It's just life. And I believe Bear Creek is experiencing a breakthrough right now. But I also know that setbacks are coming because that's just life. And people are not only coming to Christ here at Bear Creek, but they're coming to Christ, they're getting baptized, they're growing in Christ. I've seen so much growth, spiritual growth in our people, and it is so encouraging to see. God is filling up our Bible study classes and changing lives here. And it's encouraging. And I want to keep that going. And I want to keep that going by sharing with you a vision that we can kind of keep our minds focused on as we play out this year, 2018. But God is writing this beautiful story with this church. Because just a few years ago, before I got here, there was no pastor. A group of people came together and said, what do y'all think? Should we keep this place open or should we close the doors? And that was probably no more than I would say 4 or maybe 5 years ago. But God had a different plan. And it has been so encouraging to watch that plan play out. And here's the thing. We must learn to see the breakthroughs and the setbacks as part of God's plan, not only in your personal life, but in the life of this church. And we have to understand when God is in it, all things are possible. Amen? And when he's involved with it, whether it's your home, whether it's your personal life, whether it's your time at work, whether it's your church life, if he is in it, all things are possible. Great things are possible. So I go back to the story of the social media guy, and I shared that at the beginning to drive home this point. You know, that's why I'm in ministry. I'm in ministry because I was that guy. I was discouraged. And if you live kind of swimming around in the world long enough, you're going to be discouraged too. But here's the beautiful thing is when I came into a relationship with Jesus Christ and I began to grow and I began to put him first and I began to deal with issues of sin in my life, God began to change things for me. And he began to put my feet on a path and give me direction and momentum. And I'll tell you, he has blessed me so much with a wonderful wife, a wonderful family. And look, we were really jacked up when we met, Melanie and I, especially Melanie. That's totally a joke. That's totally a joke. Especially me. Especially me. I am a work in progress. But I think back, and when I read a post like that, when I read something that this person, he's just sort of crying out. This guy is just sort of crying out and saying, is there really any hope for me? And the answer to that is yes. And again, that is why I am in ministry, because I have seen this thing play out time and time again. And when people say to me, you know, there's no hope for my marriage, there's no hope for my family, I'll always, you know, be searching around for a job, and they get discouraged, I try to encourage them and let them know, look, that is not of God. God has greater plans for you. And he has a greater future for you. Leanne Rupert, one of our church members, she's in the process of moving. But as she's in a process of moving, she brings over a CD to me and she says, you know, you got to listen to this guy. His name is Michael Hyatt, and I've heard of him before. He's a kind of a Christian leadership guru. And here's what Michael Hyatt says. He says, people lose their way when they lose their why. People lose their way when they lose their why. If they don't understand the why of living, why am I here? Why did God create me? If they lose that why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Why am I sitting in a pew in a church? Why am I, why? And he says, when people lose their why, that's when things start to fall apart. And so let me just ask you that. We'll stop here, okay? We're going to be in the book of Numbers chapter 13 today, the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. But let me ask you that question. Have you lost your why? Have you lost your why? Have you lost that picture and that vision that God has given you? Maybe you have not had one before. Maybe God hasn't painted a picture of the life that he has for you. And so I want to encourage you that he has a picture for you of something greater. Well, you remember the story of Moses, don't you? Moses, here is Moses. He is in Egypt. Wow. It's like one of those broadcasting signals. Kind of. But so here's Moses. And Moses, he's in Egypt, and he sees his people suffering. At this particular time, he's being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He sees his people suffering. He begins to be burdened for his people. Well, God ends up calling Moses, right, to be the deliverer of God's people in Egypt. And he was called back to Egypt to deliver them. And so he does that. And here, after a lengthy period of time dealing with Pharaoh, Pharaoh finally says, "I relent," and he releases the people. And here they are, and it says that they suffered, they struggled in the wilderness for 40 years. And all along, God is promising them this land that he says is a land flowing with milk and honey. It was the promised land. And it was this picture that they all had in their mind, but they're starting to kind of lose hope because here's 40 years going by, have gone by, and they still haven't seen this promised land. Well, when the Israelites finally reach the border of the promised land, they end up sending 12 spies in to take a look, and I want you to just kind of share just. Go with me here to chapter 13, verse 1. Chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 1. And it says this: "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them.'" And so what he says is, among your 12 tribes, give me one man from each tribe, and I'm going to take those men and I'm going to send them into this land of Canaan to scope it out, because this is the promised land, and this will be the promised land. Now let's move down chapter 13 to verse 17. So it says, "Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up into Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many.'" And so he's saying, go check them out to see and report back to me and let me know if they're strong, if they're weak. What are these people like? And so they do that. And in verse 25 of chapter 13, it says this: "At the end of the 40 days, they return from spying out the land." Now jump down to verse 27. "And they told him, 'We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and it is fruitful. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Now, the descendants of Anak are a race of giants. And so they were very fearful, and they were very afraid. So we see that. Then, now I want you to jump with me over, or I'm sorry, stay there. Go down a little bit. Look at verse 30, okay? Chapter 13, verse 30. "But Caleb," which was one of the 12, "quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" And so here's all the 12 and Caleb, and eventually we find out also that Joshua was right there with Caleb. So Joshua and Caleb are saying, "Let's go in. We can take this place. And so So you have 10 people fearful, afraid of these giants in the land. Now remember, God said he was going to send them there, and they affirmed exactly what God said, right? This is a land flowing with milk and honey. And so they knew this is a land just like God had given, this picture that God had given, that same picture. We found that picture, but there are giants in the land. And so instead of trusting in God, they were looking at these giants and saying, "This is impossible." But here's Caleb, and he says, "This should be pretty easy." I mean, look how Caleb puts it. He says, "Let us go up at once. I mean, let's do this right now and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." So Caleb was so confident. I mean, let's just be honest. It's difficult not to feel discouraged when we see discouraging things like this. That this land of possibilities now has a mighty army But there's this perspective that Caleb had when he said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." I love this guy. His name is Wendell Berry. He says this: "Be hopeful, though you've considered all the facts." So even though you look, and even though it doesn't look good, you must hold out hope. Why must we hold out hope? Because God has painted a picture for us. And that picture for every believer in this room, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have the rest of the story. And we have a greater picture. And there is a reason always, always, always to rejoice. We all know that time on earth is limited, that we are in this temporary home, in these temporary bodies. But the end of the story is good for us no matter what we experience here on earth, no matter what giants we face, no matter what difficulties we tend to find ourselves in. So then, I want you to go to chapter 14, verse 24. Chapter 14, verse 24. Look what God says. This is God's response. God says this: "My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." So in other words, this guy Caleb, his perspective is the perspective that I want you to have. See, Caleb had faith, and he trusted. And he trusted this picture that God had given him. And he says, "Look, I serve a mighty God. These guys are nothing. This army is nothing compared to our mighty God." And I love how it says, "Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit." A different spirit. And maybe that's what you need today, to move you further along in your faith and in your maturity and your growth in Christ. Maybe that's one of the things that you're lacking today, is that different spirit, that different attitude, that different perspective, that God kind of perspective. And that's one of the reasons we're in this message series called Faith to Move Mountains, is because we have to have the perspective of faith, trusting in this wonderful, beautiful picture that God has laid out before us. And believing so much in that picture that he's laid out before us, that no matter what we face and trials that we face on this earth, we don't let them hinder us from forward motion, moving and growing and experiencing this life in Christ. Don't fall back. Don't wither. Yeah, there's going to be giants in the land once in a while. And yeah, there's going to be difficulty. And yeah, sometimes you might even find yourself like this guy on this social media page, feeling very stuck and very hopeless. So maybe this is you, and maybe this is your message today. Caleb didn't follow the crowd. He had God's kind of perspective. He had a different kind of spirit than the other 10. He had a different kind of approach. He was fully committed, it says. So this different spirit and this different perspective is a faith-based perspective. And it's the type of spirit God is looking for in you and in me. It's the type of spirit, the type of faith, the type of attitude, the type of perspective God is seeking in his people. So here's a question. At this point of your faith walk, would you be like the 10 spies, or would you be like Caleb? And at this point of your walk with Christ, would you have a different kind of perspective like Caleb, or would you be like the rest of these guys? I don't even know if we can answer that question, can we? That'd be hard. Because we go in and we see these guys, and they're 8 and 9 foot tall, and here we are living out in the desert. But Caleb knew that we walk by faith and not by sight, that we trust the words and the promises of God. Remember what we've been talking about all along in this message series, that faith is the confidence and the conviction that God is who he says he is and he will do what he says he will do. And when we live that, and when we walk that way, we are walking by the Spirit of God. We're not walking by sight. We have a different spirit, and we have a different perspective. We have a different attitude. And as I reflect back on my time here at Bear Creek, I am continually amazed by God's faithfulness. God is at work. He is at work. And because he has been so good and so faithful to us, we should be that much more confident and convicted in our faith. We should be that much more confident and convicted in our faith. Let's pray. Let's just stop right here and pray. Lord, I pray that whatever land you're leading Bear Creek to enter into in the days ahead, that we may have the vision like Joshua and Jacob or Caleb, who had a different spirit, who fully followed you, even though others thought differently and walked differently. Help us to be faithful. Help us to hear and help us to have the eyes of faith, the ears of faith, hearing you, responding to the things that you're calling us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. And as I